with our very special guest tonight, Norio Hayakawa, as we talk about Project Bluebeam and things that go bump in the night in Dulce, New Mexico. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Norio, do you believe in the extraterrestrial presence theory at all on this planet, or even extraterrestrial life somewhere out there in the universe?
Well, this is a very deep question, and I have been doing this research for 45 years, mm-hmm. and my conclusion is that we do not, unfortunately, have solid, tangible, physical, irrefutable evidence about the actual physical extraterrestrial craft being piloted or maneuvered by physical extraterrestrial entities from outer space. That's the bottom line. See, but the bottom line is when we're talking about physical proof, we just don't have it. But there are so many circumstantial evidences that there is some intelligence coexisting with us and are, pulling the direction of mankind into a certain direction for some unknown purpose in the near future. And so to answer your questions, yes, I do definitely believe that there are entities, but they may not necessarily be physical. This is where we all get hung up with the physical because we only can rely on physical reality. And when we talk about the so-called unidentified flying objects, a hero of mine, Dr. Jacques Vallée, said that, the things we call unidentified flying objects are neither objects nor flying. They can materialize, and mm-hmm. this is a very important word. And then also they violate the laws of motion as we know them. So I do believe that these objects are not flying, they are materializing. And it is very difficult to understand this. But basically, yes, I do believe that we are being slowly led towards some kind of a paradigm shift by these entities that we cannot see with our physical eyes. And, I'm saying this because my mother, who was a skeptic as far as UFOs were concerned, did have a typical flying saucer sighting back in 1975, and I completely believe her testimony. She saw a typical flying saucer with domes and almost like window-like thing around, and was just instantaneous, but she saw it. And I believe her 100%, and this is why I say that there are people who seem to be able to see these things while some others are not.
Many people believe they're dimensional.
I definitely believe so, and this is the part of advanced technology, future technology probably. So, we cannot get hung up on physical reality only.
If this Project Bluebeam comes to pass, when do you think they will begin to implement it? And I mean by trying to trick us all.
Well, the only time that will be most effective will be in time of crises such as global war, global catastrophe of some kind, in which the bulk of the people will clamor for some kind of help, and that would be an ideal time. Even Kissinger said once that the best way to create global governance is to create a threat from outside, even if it's false.
So true. He was just in a hospital in South Korea. I guess he had some severe abdominal problems. I guess he's still holding on. But you're absolutely right. He's also the same person who advocates worldwide population control, Norio. So
that's true. That, this is, so we're talking about two things going on at the same time. The government, or the covert government, I believe there is such a thing, by the way, their intention is to create an artificial threat, but at the same time, they are just as confused, because in this world, there are indeed entities that we cannot see that is working on this level as well. And this is the reason why the government cannot explain this entire UFO phenomenon. No matter what the British government, whether or not the government's release UFO files, that has no effect.
Fascinating.
No effect until the explanation comes, and they don't know how to explain it because this goes beyond the physical phenomena.
Let's talk about Dulce, New Mexico. Let's talk about the underground possibilities. What might be there? We touched on it a little bit last hour. What's going on there?
Well, it's still going on. People are still, locals in Dulce are still reporting sightings of strange lights in the night sky, plus sightings of military helicopters as well, and even alleged sightings of what appears to be a description by the local people of the so-called Bigfoot, especially near the Navajo River. It's still going on.
Now, are they talking about a specific area at Dulce? Do they see an opening somewhere? I mean, where, if let's say there's flying craft there, or even helicopters, or troops, or biologists, where are they going?
Well, the allegation is that there is a huge multi-leveled underground bio lab a mile deep under the Archuleta Mesa, but that is just the so-called rumor. Actually, there is no physical evidence for any physical underground facility in Dulce, but there are circumstantial evidences that point to the most likely possibility that there is something there. And this is the reason why these things continue. Just last December, I got a report of the strange low-frequency hums that are being heard about 6 miles northwest of Dulce along the Navajo River. And the low-frequency hums are being reported there even today. And so there is something going on in Dulce, New Mexico, and this is the reason why I held the first ever underground base conference right in the middle of the town of Dulce. This was last year, and this has caused a lot of impact, and the local people, the Hickory Apache Nation, have always been very leery of coming out and giving out testimonies because it's part of their deep spiritual belief that these activities, these apparently paranormal type activities, are part of the religious tradition there.
What's your gut tell you about the Dulce? Is there something under there?
There's something under Dulce. I think there is a reality on another level that we may not be able to see with our physical eyes, but there is a reality that paranormal phenomena and even a base could exist on a level of reality that's not necessarily physical. In other words, my belief, George, is that in this world there exists a lot of things that we cannot see. For example, let's take a thought. I believe that thoughts can travel, and mankind has forgotten that. Any idea or concept, or what they call logo, a word, becomes part of a reality in a level of a reality. So anything that people imagines becomes real. Let's say that 200 people believe in the same description of an object, for example, a flying saucer with a similar dimension, a similar color. That thought will become part of a reality on a level. And the more the people believe in one thing, the more, the stronger that reality becomes in the level of that reality.
Some people believe that there could be some kind of underground biolab down there, that they're working on anthrax and other experiments on diseases and biological warfare.
Well,
what do you think?
Yeah, that is a very, very great possibility because, as I mentioned to you, from the 1970s and lasting till mid 1980s, there have been so many strange cattle mutilations in that area.
That's
and
true.
It's well known, and many of these cattle mutilations has a marking of a human element. In other words, many gas masks were even found on cattle mutilation sites, and certain cows were pre-identified with phosphorescent marking before they were mutilated. And a good friend of mine who had a large ranch in Dulce is convinced, and I believe him absolutely, that the government was working on the development of biowarfare, research and the germs and so on, mad cow disease, and these are tip of the iceberg. But what's interesting, George, is that many people have no idea that the United States exploded an atomic bomb in 1967 underground, just about 21 miles southwest of Dulce.
Why?
In 1967.
Why would they do that?
Well, the main reason, the government says, is that this was in order to ease the flow of natural gas in that area. And this...
what a way to blow the whole place up.
Well, this was done about a mile and a half underground in the near the Hickory Apache Reservation, and I visited that location, about 3 years ago, and you know what happened was that the government knew that there will be radiation leaks, but yet they did it, and even today, there are some kind of evidences that there's a radiation, a certain level of radiation. And this is why some researchers, friends of mine, believe that the U.S. government wants to monitor some cows, specific cows in the ranch in Dulce, to monitor the level of radiation.
Do you think if the president was listening to this show right now in Washington on our huge affiliate, WMAL, and he was listening to us talk about shadow governments and the secret possible base, do you think he knows what's going on? Or do you think any president knows what's going on, Norio?
I doubt it, George, because it's not the president. I don't think that the president decides anything. It's the special interest group that really influences everything. George, when I talk about why I'm into this type of research is because I am against the destruction of the environment through certain type of black projects programs, such as that Area 51. And the whole world knows that because of the activism by groups such as the Federation of American Scientists and, you know, groups like us that have been fighting for the government to come out clean about environmental issues. And this, the reason the activism such as this has finally forced the government to admit that they were, you know, they had environmental infractions in the Groom Lake area. And so finally the government began to compensate the workers who got injured and, you know, got sick at Area 51.
They didn't want to in the beginning, did they?
That's right. In the beginning, they didn't want to. And so this is the reason why in 1998 I held the People's Rally right next to the boundary line at Area 51. And, you know, a movement like this definitely has an effect. And so, you know, not only us, but people like Attorney Jonathan Turley of the George Washington University played a very important role in bringing this issue up so that the families of the surviving families of the, you know, these workers can get compensation as well.
Area 51, do you think that we've got any craft there, ET craft, that we're doing any reverse engineering with? Now, when you talked about evidence, I assume you're talking about public evidence that we would all know about. What about black ops holding on to stuff like this?
Well, George, Area 51 is a humongous base that is alive and well even today. In fact, it's expanding. As you can see from Google satellite photos, there are many new buildings and the new water tanks, a new humongous hangar that was just completed 2 years ago. And just about a few weeks ago, they completed the paving of the Groom Lake Road all the way from the Groom Lake facility up to the past the guard shack. And right at the boundary line on Groom Lake Road, it's all paved right now. So it's expanding. And, you know, there are anywhere from 1,800 to 2,200 employees at Area 51 working for various defense contractors like Northrop Grumman and, you know, General Atomics and so on, Raytheon, and you name it. It's a full-fledged research facility, but people just, you know, get the wrong impression. But the area we've always been interested is about 10 miles south of Area 51, and that's where there is the alleged, you know, small facility called S4, where Bob Lazar has been talking about. So Area 51 has nothing to do, in my opinion, with any kind of extraterrestrial technology. It's just a leading-edge military avionics, aeronautics integration with weapon systems, and that's what Area 51 is about. However, since Area 51 is so close to the alleged site of the Sector 4, the S4, this is the reason why people associate Area 51 with extraterrestrial technologies, and that is part of the contraption by the secret government to make us associate Area 51 with extraterrestrial technology. Just like Roswell, the secret government, if I may, policy, I think, is to brainwash the part of the segment of the public into believing that an alien craft crash-landed in Roswell, and that was taken to Wright-Patterson in Ohio, and then later on in the mid-50s transferred to Area 51, and that the back engineering program is going on. And that is the exact idea or concept that is being pushed for a specific reason.
Noria, when we come back, let's get your take on 2012, the possibility of some kind of disclosure as well, and then you've got to tell us about Cosmic Wave, your original music. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Norio Hayakawa as you hear what we're talking about. Hey, are you a member of Streamlink yet? For just pennies a day, just go to coasttocoastam.com and you get podcasting, special downloads of archives, iPhone apps now, and soon to be some other apps as they're working on that as well. So just have some fun with Streamlink, part of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Noria Hayakawa, and we're going to talk about some of his work of cosmic wave music as well. This entire field is fascinating, and I'm glad you're into it. And what's next? Are you still investigating, Norio?
Yes, I am still investigating, and I have a big plan to welcome December 21st of 2012 by playing live music somewhere in the desert of New Mexico. I have not decided where yet, but I believe that there is a new era of human consciousness that could possibly come on December 21st of 2012. And a lot of people talk about 2012, of course, but 2012 is not about the year itself of 2012. It's only one day, one particular day of 2012, and that is December 21st of 2012, which I believe is the, a lot of people also believe that it's the end of one cycle of the calendar system and beginning of the new. So it's not necessarily the end of a world type scenario. It's the beginning of the paradigm change. And it could happen to a lot of people, whether one is aware or not. It could happen suddenly, or it could happen gradually, mm-hmm. beginning on that date.
I know it's a Friday night, and we're going to have a program here, and you're invited to come on, too, and we'll see what happens.
Yes, great.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit about your cosmic wave music and what that is. I mean, you're an accomplished musician. You're very good. I've listened to your work today. And tell me about this. How did you start doing this?
Some inspiration started coming to me, a few years ago. First of all, in 2005, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Area 51 in 2005, and I played a live music right next to the perimeter fence, and I brought the generators and amplifiers and keyboards, and a group of us celebrated the 50th anniversary, and I played a music which I created at that time called Area 51. Later, I changed that title to from Area 51 to Dulce, and then something told me, especially after I came to New Mexico, that I need to make a special music about New Mexico, and one was called The Showdown at Dulce, New Mexico. And
I've got that clip, too. You want to listen to it with us?
Yeah, sure. Right.
All right, here we go. Norio, that's pretty captivating. Now, how did you come up with that kind of rhythm, that beat?
Well, I have been a longtime keyboard player, and I have several keyboards that makes me able to choose a particular rhythm, and I have to modify everything and play the melody and the music myself. But it's a self-contained unit. And my belief is that any music I create is for the public, so I don't have any CDs, but I just offer the public and give the public a chance to hear it by putting all my music on wonderful YouTube. And so if anybody just puts in my name, Norio Hayakawa, at YouTube, you can hear any of my music. And the latest one that I made, a couple of weeks ago, actually, it's called Apache 2012. It's a catchy rhythm, and I made this song as a tribute to the people, the Hickory Apache Nation in Dulce, because I believe that the people of Dulce should not be afraid and should be able to come out and, you know, not be afraid to tell the public of their experiences and what's going on. So I dedicated this song, Apache 2012, to the people of Dulce. And anybody can just type in the Apache 2012, and it will come up right away on YouTube.
Fascinating work.
Thank you so much. You know, it's not that, you know, basically, George, I'm actually an old-time country western musician.
Are you really?
Yes, I am a country western musician, and at one time I used to travel to Canada in a country western band, and it was led by a Cherokee person and by the name of Johnny White Cloud, and I had a great time a couple of years while I was in Arizona. But you know, Georgia, you know, besides being a former high school Spanish teacher, I was also a country western musician. And then finally, towards the last part of my life, from 1982, I became a licensed funeral director. And I just retired 2 years ago in Los Angeles. I retired from my work in Los Angeles and then moved to New Mexico. So I have a great diversity of careers, and that really helped me to understand human nature and the various philosophies of mankind, and it was a wonderful career. And now I'm retired, and now I can talk about all of these things.
That's fantastic. Well, you said you were born in Yokohama?
Yeah, that's correct.
So and a country singer from Yokohama, huh?
That's correct. yes, I'm actually from Yokohama, and I became a citizen of this wonderful nation in 1976. I'm a U.S. citizen. In 1976, at the 200th anniversary, I became a citizen.
Good
and
for
I'm
you.
Proud to be an American, and this is the reason why. My feeling is that the American government is really not, right this moment, what we know it is. It's been influenced and by a darker force.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true, and it's been going on for a long time. We've been talking about this now for at least the 7 years I've been doing this program now, Norio. And, you know, when I first started, and some people would tell me, you know, George, there's something else going on here. You know, I didn't believe them. I thought it was strange, preposterous in some cases. Not anymore. I just came back from San Diego this weekend and had a great time with our listeners there who listened to our affiliate, Kogo. And we talked about that. And I would say it's universally accepted now that they believe that there is a shadow government trying to manipulate, control, and push us into a one-world government.
No question about it. No question about it. And they use words like, you know, they try to soften up the words like global governance, which is a softer word. But in actuality, I believe it's a new world order, and that it's not the imagination of conspiratologists. It's something real, and this is the eventuality. In any direction you look, globalism will be, coming more and more. And I think, and I have a hope, that in 2012, hopefully, there will be a change of paradigm so that we can bring the world into a new direction. And that is my hope about 2012. Perhaps nothing will happen, but you never know. It's 2012. The December 21st thing of 2012 is basically a personal thing. It's a personal transformation. And I believe that even one person can transform himself and bring in new paradigm. It'll affect other people. So, you know, but I'm sure that there will be quite a number of people that is willing to transform themselves and welcome the new paradigm that includes the new understanding of the human consciousness and the cosmic consciousness. I believe this is what we are waiting for.
Let's talk a little bit about disclosure. If we believe we're being visited by something, will we ever get disclosure from government? I think not. What about you?
No. I think not at all, because the government is not in the business of explaining things other than the physical phenomena. And this entire mysterious so-called UFO phenomena, the flying saucer phenomena, if you may, is not only a physical phenomenon, but it's a phenomena that involves the unseen reality, and it involves, it will go into spirituality as well. In fact, this is the reason why the government does not know how to explain, because people are going to clamor for explanation of the UFO phenomena, and there's no answer that the government can do. And so it's not going to be the government that is going to initiate the disclosure, but it will have to be either the entities themselves or the people.
I'm glad there's some people out there like Stephen Bassett and Dr. Stephen Greer who are pushing for disclosure, hoping that something will happen. If we're being visited in some form or fashion, do you think it's going to be through a whistleblower that we'll find out what's happening?
Well, I cannot say this, one way or the other. I think more and more evidence of some kind will come that we're encountering some phenomena that we cannot explain. Let's take, for example, what's happening in the Cleveland, the Lake Erie situation, where there's a nightly appearance of a mysterious light. But again, when you look at all these films, footages, it's apparently it's some kind of a materialization. It's not a flight or an object flying. So again, as I said many times, and I concur with Dr. Jack Vallee and people like John A. Keel, that we're facing a phenomena that cannot be explained by empirical science. This is the bottom line of everything. There is a phenomena in this world that we cannot see, and then some people can see, and then there's a phenomena that can be, cannot be photographed in clear definition.
How do you think the shadow government got their budget, got their money? How do you think they skimmed it?
Well, I believe that there are many programs, covert operations that bring in fundings. For example, in the 70s, 80s, I believe that the drug operations were part of that. And, there's corruption.
I've got to tell you, you've got your finger on the pulse. You really do.
Well, I've been talking about this for a long time, and as I said, in 1995, my thesis was that there could be a secret government that is using technology to deceive the public, and for a future event that they could orchestrate, for example, by the use of, as you mentioned earlier, the project, the Blue Beam. Now, there's no factual evidence that there is such a project called Project Blue Beam, but, just by looking at the new policies of the Air Force, for example, the Air Force 2025 program, there's the Airborne Holographic Projection program that is being drawn as part of the program. You know, in olden days, you had to have some kind of a screen in order to project a holographic image. For example, you have to have a cloud, a dense cloud cover as a screen. But there are technologies, I believe now, that you don't have to have a cloud formation to project a holographic image. I believe that there are technologies that can actually create a screen that is from a high technique viewpoint stand. And so I'm not a scientist at all, George, but I know. And I'm interested in the philosophy of weapons development systems. You don't have to be a scientist to go into this kind of a thing, but the technology is advancing so fast that we are living in a world where we can be deceived easily.
Sure.
We have to make a distinction what is real and what is not real, because these technologies which could be manipulated by elitists in the future, could be used against the citizenry.
Let's talk about the scenario, the Project Bluebeam scenario of the false alien invasion. How do you think they'll do it in terms of the holograms? And will we wake up one morning? Well, can you have holograms during the daytime? I don't know. This probably be a nighttime event, don't you think?
Well, so-called Project Bluebeam is not only about the holographic projection of images, religious images, but it's also the use of the sound waves and various kind of frequencies control the brain, and that is integrated with the bombardment of certain magnetic waves and so on from the satellites and from so-called airborne projections. And that doesn't only have to be holographic projections. Did you know, George, that there are technologies whereby through the use of holographic techniques, one can actually project the image of something that is much larger than what it is. In other words, maximizing the image, that's very possible. There are technologies where they can actually make a person believe that they're seeing a mile-wide object in the sky, where in reality it's not that case, but the observer will be convinced that they're looking at a mile-wide object. So this type of technology is being developed, and it has been developed for many years, actually. But I believe that certain psychological operations have been using that kind of image-maximizing holographs.
Well, that's going to be a fascinating moment indeed. Let's hope we're all prepared for it when it happens, huh? And we don't panic.
That's correct. That's the name of the game, is the panic. And
Well, we shall see what happens there. Norio, do you travel much anymore?
Well, I don't travel too often these days, but I am planning to go to Roswell this year, because they invited me to play music in the Roswell Festival, and I'm planning to play the cosmic type of music as well as country music too, but in Roswell. So that's about the extent of travel I will do, but I will also go to Dulce area again. I will also go to the other locations in New Mexico, such as I will visit the new the spaceport that they're building.
Okay, well, next hour we'll take phone calls with you. Norio Hayakawa is our special guest right here on Coast to Coast AM.